We've got a great speaker lineup in the next couple hours here, including where we're going right now. This man coming to the stage, Richard Gage, architect for 30 years from the San Francisco Bay Area, member of the American Institute of Architects and the founder and former CEO of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. That's where most of us learned first about Richard Gage. We knew something was off about the falling of the towers and pancaking. He happened to point it out with the other architects. He continues to lead the charge towards a new investigation into this destruction of all three World Trade Center towers back in 9/11. And he's got so much more. I don't want to take any time from him because he's got, I know how many slides he has. So let's all welcome to the stage, the Red Pill Expo stage, Richard Gage. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you very, very much. Now I'm independent with RichardGage911.org, where you can get more information because we're going to blaze through this information because guess what? You already heard about it. At last year's Red Pill Expo, we're going to go deeper. We're going to capitalize on the incredible work by Kevin Ryan about these two events that radically changed American society and the world politically, culturally, economically, geopolitically, and technically revolutionized. Nothing's the same after 9/11, and guess what? Nothing will be the same, God forbid, after COVID. The effects of these major cataclysmic events tend to linger. But we have to ask the question, were these intended outcomes, the political, economic, geopolitical changes, invasions of countries, restructuring of the Middle East, restructuring of our defense systems, restructuring with the homeland security of our intelligence systems? Were they intended? If the answer is yes, then wouldn't that be the single most important problem for each of us, facing us now? If all of that was done in order to affect those outcomes, well, we're here to answer that question. We're going to look for patterns. We're going to connect the dots. We're going to ask more questions, and fearlessly so. For instance, these parallels, which Kevin Ryan so creatively developed for us, ask, is there foreknowledge of these events? Were there drills set in place that gave rise to those events? Insider trading, predictive programming, or short foreshadowing of these events? An elusive, powerful enemy, was that created for us, or did it just happen to us? Was there the irrational creation of a climate of fear on purpose? Extreme control of information and practices by intelligence and other agencies, the abuse of science, responses that are far more harmful than the original problem of the 9/11 attacks or the COVID disease. Was there a real investigation into either of these events? Were there false official accounts that are provably so? Is the media censorship running overtime? Is questioning being allowed in polite society? Is there a manipulating narrative designed to control the American people, our thought? Are there serious conflicts of interest with suspicious benefits for insiders? The implementation of draconian policies and surveillance. If we have all of this in both of these major catastrophic events, then how big is the problem we're facing? It's a lot bigger than my family wants to acknowledge. Where do we start with getting a handle on this problem? I'll tell you where I started. I started with the explosive evidence because that is, to me and my way of thinking, call me an architect, but I like the evidence very clean, very crystal clear. I like it laid out. And so that's what I have done over the last 15 years. And by the way, we have DVDs at our table right outside that door right there. And they're amazing. They're going to give you the depth that we can't go into today, the depth such as the World Trade Center Building 7. This is a unique crowd at the Red Pill Expo, but how many of you, before you saw one of my programs or DVDs, knew about World Trade Center Building 7, the third tower? How many of you did not know? Put your hands up. Now, how many did not? There we go. Now I can see you. Okay, 4 or 5. This is really amazing, and it testifies to the censorship. Most, as I mentioned, our architects and engineers know nothing about the third tower. Most people out there know nothing about a 47-story skyscraper. Next to the Twin Towers, it's dwarfed, right? But it's about 110 yards from the North Tower. Here it is standing just fine. And then the towers come down that morning. It's still standing fine. And this is what happens at 5:20 in the afternoon. East penthouse first, 6 seconds later, this happens. Now, when this happens, what do you think in your mind? What is your intuitive sense about this? This is not rocket science. I mean, you know, sixth graders can get this. But because the American people didn't know about it, because of the incredible media, like a belt just tightened the story. It's been seen on mainstream media maybe 2 or 3 times. It should have been the most studied structural failure ever. Remember, this building was not hit by a plane. So how do they say it came down? Sound, please. And let's leave the sound
up. Caused an extraordinary event. The collapse of World Trade Center 7 was primarily due to fire.
Fires. Well, let's look at these fires. Well, these are the worst fires that we have photographic or video evidence of in the building. So those fires did that to that building. Fires in high-rises have never brought down a steel frame fire-protected high-rise before, ever, in history. This is the first example. A collapse is unprecedented, absolutely unprecedented. So again, it should have been the most studied building failure ever. So just calling this collapse by fire and doing the study that was done, which you'll see, this is false official account of the event. So we're going to go through several of those points, and we get to them by looking at the evidence of a typical controlled demolition, a sudden onset of destruction, straight down symmetrical collapse, a patterned removal of column supports, a free fall acceleration into its own footprint, the total dismemberment of the structural steel system, limited damage to adjacent structures, explosions and flashes of light heard and seen by witnesses, broken up concrete floors, explosive charges visible at many floors, and chemical evidence of explosive devices left behind. We looked at all of this last year. Go, be sure to visit redpilluniversity.org to catch up with that and the information on our website, richardgage911.org. This is all direct evidence of destruction with explosives. Fire doesn't create any one of these features, let alone all of them, with additional government documentation, foreknowledge, expert corroboration, video documentation. This is proof of controlled demolition. But we don't know about that because the media censored this so heavily. But let's put one side by side. Let's just think about this now. Oh, you don't get to see this one going down. It looks exactly like a controlled demolition, just like many of you intuited. So be sure to pick up the DVD where you can see a lot of these great videos. So there's no real investigation. What do I mean by that? The NIST report that came out 7 years later, simply they sought to figure out how this building came down by fire. They didn't openly try to investigate how it came down. They started it with a stated conclusion. Well, how do you do that? You have to take out all the columns in the building virtually at once. And that's how the building comes down. And they, guess what? These fires are not going to be doing that in this building. No. So what is NIST? The National Institute of Standards and Technology was tasked by Congress to explain these collapses to the American people.
We did not find any evidence that explosives were used in the collapse of Building 7.
No evidence. Well, later they admit that they never looked for explosive residue after claiming that there was no explosive residue found. They admit they never looked for it a year later in writing. There's no real investigation. But there are plenty of witnesses of explosions immediately before the building came down. And you'll get to see those when you visit redpilluniversity.org. Do we have foreknowledge of this event? Well, let's listen to these construction workers walking away from Building 7, hearing an explosion over their shoulder, looking back at the building, and then straight into the CNN camera and say this.
Keep your eye on that building. It'll be coming down.
The building is about to blow up. Moving back.
All right, guys.
We are looking back. It's a building about to blow up. All flame, debris coming down.
The building's about to blow up. Flame and debris coming down. Were they interviewed by NIST? No, NIST claims to have interviewed hundreds of witnesses. They didn't catch this either. The BBC announcing the collapse of this building 20 minutes before it happened. That is really good reporting. That's where you want to be. They apologize for this grievous error, citing the confusing events of the day, if you can believe this. So this evidence all adds up in Building 7 to a proof of controlled demolition. Now, this card is in the chairs that we put out, so you can grab one. And it counters the false official accounts that we have. How about the Twin Towers? Well, in 2005, the city of New York finally released these 500 oral histories by the first responders. And they were read by Graham McQueen, 12,000 pages of them. Why did they hold on to them for 4 years? Because they had to get sued by the New York Times. They do some things right. And then they put the transcripts on their paper, and Graham McQueen read all 12,000 pages and found out that 118, now 156 first responders, observed flashes of light, sounds of explosions, and other phenomena of explosive demolition. Like this, we felt the ground shake, you could see the tower sway, and then it just came down. So again and again, we've got dozens and dozens and dozens of these very specific quotes from these first responders. There's an order of events. Like this one, all of a sudden the ground just started shaking. It felt like a train running underneath my feet. The next thing we know, we look up and the tower is collapsing. Shook my bones. Shortly before the first tower came down, I remember feeling the ground shaking, heard a terrible noise, and then debris just started flying everywhere. 40 reporters on the day, most all of them, described this as an explosion-based event, the collapse of these two towers. It was the working theory of the FBI and the New York Police Department until the next day. These are credible witnesses, and there's dozens of them, and I encourage you to look at them. It's very impressive. Anybody have friends who think you're nuts because you're talking about 9/11 being a conspiracy? The DVD, 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out, clears it all up. It works every time. extreme control of information practices and intelligence, and by intelligence and other agencies. That's what keeps this kind of information from getting into the public. Does it even look like a collapse to you, or does it look like a volcanic eruption like the Tongan Sea in 2009 on the right? Upward arching, freely flying solid objects trailed by thick white smoke clouds. And a straight down, now that's what's going on up above. Look what's going on underneath. Uniform progression all the way down, floor by floor. Let's zoom in, shall we? Tell me what you're looking at here. Is this a collapse, or is this a series of dozens of explosions in the leading corner of this building? This is the kind of evidence that you would look at in any kind of a real investigation. But what we have is a manipulating narrative that's designed to take the American public off track. And the evidence includes explosive ejections, 20, 40, even 60 stories down below what we're told is a gravitational collapse up above. On the left side of the South Tower, we see dozens of them in this looped video, almost all at once, essentially liquefying the structural steel framing system so that it just falls. And it shatters the structural steel frame all the way down to the ground. This is what the NFPA 921 says, look for high-order damage. Shrapnel effects was exactly what we have here. The steel frame is completely shattered, broken up into its original lengths for loading and shipment. The National Fire Protection Association Guide 921 also says, look for blast pressure wave effects with heavy structural steel pieces freely flying, like impaling the buildings around them, like you see these freely flying structural steel sections and landing in all different directions, 4- and 8-ton sections these are. Look at this one, back two, forward two, back two. That's 45 degrees. It starts out horizontally, and then gravity takes over. Gravity's supposed to work down. What's shooting these out horizontally? But we have a manipulating narrative that this is a collapse by the weakening of steel due to the jet fuel started fires, which caused the upper part to drive the rest of the building down to the ground. But we see that's not happening. What we see is that there's 100,000 tons of structural steel missing from the pile at the bottom. It's on the site. It's 600 feet all over the place outside the power. So it's not available to crush the building. That's a third of the weight of these buildings, at least. This is the abuse of science we're talking about. What about the floors, the concrete floors? Maybe they're crushing the building. Where is the concrete? On the right, we have a real pancaking collapse in Mexico. Where are the concrete floors? The pancakes are missing. Oh, here's the concrete being pulverized in midair. All the photos, all the videos show exactly that. 90,000 tons of concrete being pulverized to 100 micron particles. That's like baby powder. So if the concrete powder covers downtown Manhattan, what's left to crush the buildings? Not the steel, not the concrete. Together, that's two-thirds the weight of the building. You have to remove that from your calculations that have been done by debunkers and others. And they didn't. It's the abuse of science. The destruction of evidence. We have easily the largest and most perplexing structural failures in history, and yet 400 truckloads a day starting just 2 weeks after 9/11, carted away. What were they carting away? Also, molten steel beams picked up by the crab claw excavators. molten steel falling, dripping out of this material. Metal dripping from a beam, says this firefighter, and we looked at dozens and dozens of these last year. Molten steel beams. How do they get so hot? A river of steel flowing, says who? The World Trade Center structural engineer himself, Leslie Robertson. The New York Police Museum shows molten concrete. I didn't know concrete could melt. There it is. It takes 3,200 degrees. Guess how hot jet fuel gets? 600 degrees. We got a long delta between what jet fuel can do and what is being done in these towers with extraordinary high temperatures. Partly evaporated steel beams, 4,000 degrees, five times the temperature jet fuel can even get to. No accounting for it in the official story. I saw melting of girders in the World Trade Center, says this structural engineer. The FEMA team actually documented in Appendix C, in the Building Performance Assessment Team report. What do they document? Never before observed eutectic reactions, intergranular melting, solid steel girder turning into Swiss cheese. We have all this in the DVD also. Rapid oxidation, sulfidation, liquid iron, sulfur formed during this hot corrosion attack on the steel. Perhaps the deepest mystery uncovered in the investigation, says the New York Times, and yet NIST completely eliminated this metallurgical report, which is more revealing than anything else. Perhaps why they eliminated it, constituting abuse of science. Again, 600 degrees, open air, jet fuel, burning. ME Petroleum, one of the key manufacturers. We can tell what the temperature of this material is by its color. We're exceeding 2,500 degrees. There's no question about how hot the material is, especially when you look at these steel beams being ejected with trailing thick white smoke clouds. What do you think's burning on the end of those? This is not an office fire that caused the burning of these. So it's manipulating a narrative of a natural collapse when we're starting to see some evidence of what's really going on down in the pile. But that's not being looked at in any in the NIST report, and barely in the FEMA report. What else was found in the dust, though? Small chips of nanothermite. What do I mean by that? Well, they do an X-ray energy dispersive spectroscopy, and they find what? Iron, aluminum, the ingredients of thermite in what looked like paint chips. But they're not paint chips. They're attracted by a magnet. So they do some deeper research, 50,000 times with a nuclear microscope. This is not the NIST team. This is not the FEMA team. This is an independent team of eight international engineers led by Niels Harrit in Copenhagen, finding what? Nano-sized particles of iron oxide and aluminum powder. So this is quite incredible because it shouldn't be in the dust. This is very high-tech material. There's a peer-reviewed paper in the Bentham Open Chemical Physics Journal. So there's no real investigation by NIST, or they would have accounted for this and much of the other forensic evidence that we are not going to get to. Why? Because I want to take you into a side-by-side set of parallels between these two catastrophic events, and want you to also know that we have a film, 9/11 Crime Scene to Courtroom, that we're making with the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry right now. So this is very exciting. We're taking it to court. It's a unique film that will have all this evidence in it. You're welcome. Thank you. Foreknowledge. Are there drills that occurred? Well, sure enough, we have 28 hijack exercise events by the military within 2 years of 9/11. Half of them were on 9/11. And the air traffic controllers were very confused about what was real world and what was not. So you don't do this kind of thing unless you're really, and by the way, these drills did not stop even after both towers were hit. Because there's, for an hour later, the plane that was flying toward the Pentagon was not shot down. Well, there's a whole story about the Pentagon. We're not going to get into that today. Osama bin Laden's face is on the cover of one of these drills. The targeted Twin Towers is on the cover of another. There was a biochemical attack drill in New York on Pier 92. They all got there on Monday. Tuesday is September 11th, the next day. Coincidence? There they all are. In fact, Giuliani said, gosh, it was great. It had hundreds of people here from FEMA, the federal government, from the state emergency management office. They're getting ready for a drill, for a biochemical attack. The equipment was all there. So all we had to do was establish a command center within 3 days. Normally, that takes a lot longer. Dan Rather interviews this gentleman, who's one of them.
Rescue worker with the National Urban Search and Rescue. It's part of FEMA, the Federal Disaster Relief Agency. It's Tom Kennedy, from the Urban Search and Rescue Team.
To be honest with you, we arrived on late Monday night and went into action on Tuesday morning.
He's talking about 9/11. That's incredible. Bush Cheney staff put on CIPRO ahead of 5 days ahead of the actual anthrax letter attacks that occurred September 16th. So they're anticipating it as well. How about on the COVID side? What have we got? Oh, Event 201, a tabletop exercise at Johns Hopkins anticipating a coronavirus nearly identical to the outbreak that happens 3 months later. The drills tend to go live because they can get themselves all organized, get their ducks in a row. You've heard this relative to some of the other shootings that have happened. But this was a huge exercise involving multi-disciplines and World Economic Forum, of course, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, God bless them. These are the holders of the coronavirus and vaccine patents planning the event 201, which turns out to have happened. The anticipated resistance from skeptics and anti-vaxxers were deployed as countermeasures exactly as to their plan in the real event. We need to prepare for the event that becomes a pandemic. So, we also have foreknowledge in terms of Fauci, who announces this.
There will be a surprise outbreak. Pandemic preparedness. And if there's one message that I want to leave with you today, there is no question that there will be a challenge to the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases.
Oh, that's very helpful. I'm going to skip the 9/11 side. We're going to focus on the COVID side because it is so telling. But yes, we have insider trading with suspicious benefits for insiders on 9/11. The put options were people made millions. But guess what? It didn't lead to Al-Qaeda. So they said, oh, we don't have to pursue it any farther, this insider trading. Well, how about COVID side? Well, yeah, we have Senator Burr, Kelly Loeffler, James Inhofe, Diane. They're being investigated for insider. Oh, let's just listen.
Senator Richard Burr is asking for an ethics committee review over his stock sell-off following a briefing on coronavirus weeks before the stock market began to plummet. ABC's Rachel Scott has more from Washington.
This morning, with mounting anxiety on Wall Street, at least two senators are being asked to explain why they sold off their stocks after classified coronavirus briefings before the outbreak.
How about that? That's helpful. We have all kinds of false official accounts right down the line that you can learn so much more about on our website and others. We have the false official accounts of bats with the virus migrating from them to humans. The animal eaten in China that may have sparked a deadly coronavirus. Well, we have Jeffrey Sachs, who was the chairman of the Lancet COVID-19 Commission. That's a high-up guy, one of the world's renowned economists. I'm pretty convinced that it came out of a U.S. biotechnology lab, not out of nature. So, we have a million, in terms of false official accounts, a million Americans died from COVID. Wear masks to flatten the curve. Lockdowns save lives. Vaccines provide better immunity than natural immunity. These COVID vaccines are safe and effective. There are sources here at this conference today and tomorrow that will go into these details. I'm citing other doctors. I'm not an epidemiologist or a virologist, and I don't know a lot about medicine, but this is what the doctors are telling to us and proving. The viruses can't, do we have an elusive, powerful enemy in both cases? Yes, the terrorists are hiding behind every major city. They could come out and get you. You better put duct tape and plastic so you don't get chemical attack at your house. Well, the viruses can't be seen. Any person on the surface that touches you can multiply inside of you and kill you. It's elusive, powerful, unpredictable. You better stay home and hide behind a mask so it doesn't get you. Is there a climate of fear being created? Well, yeah. Propaganda about Muslim terrorism 24/7 on the 9/11 side. We have the terror meter, which is always designed to inflict fear. We're more compliant when we are afraid. On the COVID side, predictions of mass death, overcrowded hospitals, crisis of not enough respirators, not enough mass graves for all the dead we're expecting. COVID cases and death numbers, of course, they're grossly exaggerated exponentially. Asymptomatic people can become super spreaders, so our own family members could kill us without even knowing it. You could kill grandma. It's a pandemic of the unvaccinated, as we've been preached. So, do we have extreme control of information by governmental agencies? The CDC, the WHO, NIAID, Pfizer, Gates, Fauci controlled propaganda. The White House controlled the White House's National Security Council was put in control of Event 201, which ties that whole event to the U.S. government at the top levels quite conveniently. We have Bill Gates granting $319 million to the media. So apparently this is different than advertising. I don't know the details, but isn't that a conflict of interest, the guy who holds the patents on all these things? and do you know that the media is getting 70% of their advertising budget comes from Big Pharma? That's aside from Bill's $319 million. CIA-funded data company Peter Thiel's Palantir was hired to manage the COVID data. This is a very creepy outfit, apparently. that's what the Vanity Fair even says about this firm. And is there control of information? Fauci originally praised the human immune system for overcoming the flu. Listen to this.
If she really has the flu, she definitely doesn't need a flu vaccine. If she really has the flu,
she should not get it again.
No, she doesn't need it because it's the most potent vaccination is getting infected.
Not anymore, though. That whole narrative changed. Now, many of these tips for me came from Dr. Madhava Setty, who writes for the Children's Health Defund, Children's Health Defense, and he's very bright and a good friend. anesthesiologist. So thank you very much, Madhava. Do we have Neil Ferguson? His computer modeling projected catastrophic deaths, but he was proven wrong. In fact, Nature magazine says the simulations driving the world's response to COVID-19, how epidemiologists rushed to model the coronavirus. Ferguson's one of the highest profile faces in the effort to use mathematical models that predict the spread of the virus. Research does not get any more policy driven than this. He says it might face more than 500,000 deaths if the government doesn't take action. So Boris Johnson, upon seeing this, almost immediately announced stringent new restrictions on people's movements. The primary model was used to justify lockdowns, but it failed its first real-world test. Extreme disparities between the projections and reality. So that's called abuse of science also. Ignoring natural immunity from the body and the population, two-year safety efficacy studies weren't completed, the placebo, the 20,000 placebo group ended up getting vaccinated when they halted the study early, completely destroying any secure, meaningful results from the vaccine trial. And so we have there's an ignoring of a low hospitalization rate akin to a bad flu, manipulated disease statistics, death certificates, death by COVID is what you get if you happen to have a positive rapid or PCR test. Listen to the health department director for the state of Illinois. This is
I just want to be clear in terms of the definition of people dying of COVID. So the case definition is very simplistic. It means at the time of death, it was a COVID positive diagnosis. So that means that if you were in hospice and had already been given, you know, a few weeks to live, and then you also were found to have COVID, that would be counted as a COVID death. It means that if you died of a clear alternate cause, but you had COVID at the same time, it's still listed as a COVID death. So everyone who's listed as a COVID death doesn't mean that that was the cause of the death, but they had COVID at the time of death. I hope that's helpful.
Are you getting this? This is national policy. The hospitals, well, nearly half or even more of these tests turn out false positive, according to this Chinese Journal of Epidemiology. So we have the Kerry Mullis, the developer of the test, says if with PCR, if you do it well, you can find almost anything in anybody. Its results are meaningless. He's the Nobel Prize winning creator of this. The fact checkers are funded by Bill Gates in some part, and others like our friend George Soros. This is all abuse of science. Ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine were banned, even though studies showed that they were very, not this study. This study is an intent to pan it by declaring what was very clear in the study to call it unclear through the manipulation of data. And this happens again and again with the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times. But what you can clearly see in the study is that all of the black dots are on the left side of the vertical thin black line, indicating ivermectin is a whole lot better than the placebos, a whole lot better. But they said it's unclear. And they had some really shady reasons for doing that. And we're going to not jump into that. And there's other studies that show that ivermectin and HCQ were doing really well. But what we're talking about here is the abuse of science here. So the Lancet paper that halted global trials of hydroxychloroquine for COVID-19 because of fears of increased deaths was retracted. The author says he could no longer vouch for the data's accuracy. They apologize because they were manipulated somehow inside the system, and they trashed these effective medications and put out a bad paper. The World Health Organization recommends against remdesivir for COVID early on. It's right here from the World Health Organization. But then they turn around and they make it safe for infants very recently. So we're going to jump ahead, and I encourage you to see all of this because these parallels are astonishing. But I want to take you to the end game because it's very scary. Very scary indeed, and something we should all be aware of here. There are serious conflicts of interests with suspicious financial benefits. We have the emergency use authorization. None of the five, I'm trying to make this go fast, and it's not going at all. Do I need to point it? Too fast. Oh. Implementation of policies. Predictive programming. This is where we want to go. Feature films, cartoons, books for years.
Liberty in Washington. Lower Manhattan.
World Trade Center. I'm going to crash the plane into the World Trade Center.
I'll tell the flight crew.
6 months before 9/11.
Can you override the flight control system?
I'm working on it.
Hijack. Aircraft remotely guided crashing into the towers. The license expiring on 9/11 for Neo of the Matrix. 9/11, broken towers again and again. And look at this one. And again, we have an extraordinary panoply of evidence of predictive programming. And we're going to find out what that actually means. Independence Day, the time is 9/11. These are just some random samplings, too. This is not comprehensive at all. The 2012 Summer Olympics. Did you guys see this? This is incredible. This is the floor, the arena that the Olympics, most of the Summer Olympics were played in. Sick children. And a goblin-looking figure with a needle-like device in his hand, terrorizing kids. This is the kind of, there are other implications, and even a hint as to where it's coming from. A telegraphing question mark of what's to come by those in the know, and this is well before, of course, the outbreak, and then this scene from Utopia.
You've desecrated all of my work. You disrespected science. What the hell did you put in that vaccine?
We created a flu that sparked the demand for a vaccine that doesn't work. After everyone in the country is vaccinated.
And the world.
He'll have murdered millions.
Nope, you don't have it.
How much evil do you have to do good? Your father created a world changing, not world ending, a world changing, world improving omnivirus. And we have taken that virus and embedded it in the vaccine of the Stern's flu.
I knew it. It created a panic and now everybody's begging for the vaccine.
No. Demanding it with all the entitlement of a first world country.
Yes. And now we have exactly what we want. Hundreds of millions of Americans lining up, offering us their arms, and letting us give them our creation. What we are doing is far bigger than death.
Wait, this virus is not deadly.
Everything I do is a cure for our current situation. We intend to stop human reproduction for three generations. The busy, endless global assembly line of babies grind to halt.
You're sterilizing people?
Huh? first 5 years, we'll start to see major birth rate declines as teenagers vaccinated today hit their childbearing years.
You're controlling the future of human civilization.
Is that what they're calling it? It's a very nice euphemism for a species that has replicated like a contagion across the planet, killing all other species in its wake.
So this is called also the revelation of the method. Dustin Broadbury of the Cogent says, according to Dr. Michael Hoffman, first they suppress the counter-argument, and when the most opportune time arrives, they reveal aspects of what's really happened, but in a limited hangout sort of way. We're told that the vaccines were harmless until Pfizer debased their own safety claims, but not before the entire world had been vaccinated. Lockdown apologists across the corporate media are now almost unanimous that lockdowns do more harm than good. This is an arbitrary about-face. This is no arbitrary about-face, but rather a carefully planned sequence of disclosures when the time is ripe. He suggests that the ruling elite are giving notice of their supremacy, declaring themselves virtuoso criminal masterminds, above the law and beyond reproach. But most of all, they're telling you in no uncertain terms that you are without recourse. These events are beyond your control, as is your destiny for that matter. Eventually, a sense of apathy and ebulia engulfs humanity, demoralizing us to the point of conceding defeat to a system we are powerless to change. Buried deep within their rule of law is a hidden constitution that states nothing happens without your consent. In this version of contract law, once the truth is hidden in plain sight, you have agreed to it. There exists someplace an unsigned contract with your unsworn oath to it. Realizing that our activities will sooner or later come to light as conspiracy researchers like you and I unravel them, they will release information into the public consciousness. The more we are investigated, says this intelligence officer in the cryptocracy, as Michael Hoffman calls it, the more masses of people are psychologically processed by the very people who seek to expose us. It's a spiritual problem. It's a very deep spiritual problem. How are we going to solve it? Learn more. Wake up others. Prepare for what's coming. Practice meditation and prayer. I think 9/11 was a setup for COVID. Myself and sets of controls with all of the parallel opportunities that we've just seen a fraction of. I encourage you to look more. Thank you so very much. Learn the truth and speak it.
Thank you, Richard.